Okay, the wayside, today's daf is daf Gimel. We're starting the top line on Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara begins Lishna Achrina. You'll all recall that yesterday we began the new Masechta, Masechta's Bava Basra, where the first Mishnah started, Hashutfim Shiratsu Lasis Machitza B'chotzer Boinen Es HaKuisel B'emtza. We have Shutfim, partners, meaning you have a common courtyard, a common chotzer, for two or more people, and two of them decided that instead of leaving the chotzer open to everyone in the chotzer, they're going to go and split it. Okay, so the lashon of the mission is Hashutfim Shiratsu Lasos Machitza B'chotzer. You'll recall we had two potential pshatim in the word machitza. The first pshat that the Gemara had yesterday, and with which the Gemara remained until the end of the daf, was that machitza means guda. Guda means a wall. And so therefore what the Mishnah is saying is, if the Shutfim agreed that we're going to build a wall, then we can force them in fact to go and build a wall. So the Gemara learned from that, it's Dafka Shiratzu, that they decided together we're going to go and build a wall, then they have to go and build a wall. What happens, however, if they did not want to build a wall, they just wanted to go and make a division, then one could say to the other, I agreed to subdivide, however, I didn't agree to a wall, let's just make a mesipis ba'alma. A mesipis means a line of demarcation. And you remember that Rashi explained yesterday that a mesipis means a row of pegs, 2 or 3 inches tall, extending from the ground. So people see where one person's chotzer ends and where the other person's chotzer begins. But certainly it's not a major wall. Now you're asking, so what difference does it make? I mean, they may have a separation. Says, you want, no. You see from that, the hezek riyah lav shmei hezek. If you cannot force another person to go and build a wall, but rather he can insist, yes, mesipis ba'alma, he could see what the other guy is doing. No! So he'll see what the other guy is doing. Hezekriya lav shmei hezek. Then the Gemara said, who says? Maybe the word machitza doesn't mean that they both agreed to make a wall. Maybe the word machitza means that they agreed to subdivide. And what the Mishnah is telling you is, oh, you've agreed to go and divide your property? Then you gotta build a wall. Why do you have to build a wall? If we just agreed to subdivide, let's make that mesipis. Ah, because of hezek riyah shmei hezek, once you've agreed to go and divide, you gotta make a wall because of the inyan of the hezek riyah. So we had those two pshatim yesterday, and the Gemara asked a series of kashas on the first pshat on the Guda, because we had a series of Mishnayos, and even a member of Rav Nachman, that all suggested that Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek, and each time the Gemara pushed that aside and say, no, Nishkefele, we can learn another pshat. And now today's Gemara starts the other way around. Instead of saying that the Mishnah, what it says, Machitza means war, and then saying, well, maybe it means just to subdivide. And the Gemara said, no. Today we're going to start the other way around. Lishna Achrina, top line, Amrila, Savrua. What did the Bnei Yeshiva assume when they learned the word Machitza? My Machitza means Plukta. Plukta means to divide or subdivide the Chotze. Now, where did I ever find that the word Machitza means just to subdivide? Chsevishtein Pasik. By the Mechemes Midyan, it says that the booty, the shalom that was gotten by the tzava, by the army, was subdivided. And the lashon pasuk is vatihi mechtzasa eda. And if you have the Torah or a shalom, how much did they split of the booty? Mechtzasa eda took menatzoyin shloishim yeres elef, shloishim elef, etc. Oh, so obviously when we talk about mechtzasa eda, we don't mean a wall in the middle of the eda. We mean that there was a split, a subdivision of the booty, and half of it went to the Eder. Ah, so now if we're going to learn that pshat, so what's the full context of the first line of the Mishnah? So the Mishnah says, V'kiven d'ratzu, as soon as they agree, we're going to divide this property, then boinu sakoisu bal korchan. At this point, both of them have to agree, not just to make a mesipis, but they have to build a proper wall. What is the definition of a proper wall? In yesterday's Mishnah, you recall, we talked about the construction materials, which was either gvil, gozis, kfisin, or levenim, which was a description of the thickness and the width, if you will, of these bricks. In a Mishnah Miyat Shema, which we're going to have in another couple of days, on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, and the Gemara touched upon this already yesterday, the height of the wall has to be at least 4 amos tall. So we're talking about a proper wall, as a Mexican wall, a Chinese wall, whatever you want to call it, a real nice, strong wall. So once they've agreed, then they've agreed that we're going to go and make a separation, a subdivision. Chevra, you agree? Then you got to build a wall. The Gemara is going to ask shortly, I mean, just because they agreed, why can't they disagree? I mean, we're not talking about that they did anything, it just was a dibur ba'alma. They agreed, let's subdivide. The Gemara is going to discuss that shortly on the Amud Aleph from the bottom. But what do I see from this Alma Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek, that our Mishnah tells us, ooh, why do you have to build a wall? Because otherwise it'll be a Hezek, somebody, one person looking into the other person's chutzpah. Who said that machitza means plukta, subdivision? Maybe machitza means a wall, like we learned yesterday. Now, where do we ever find that the word machitza means a wall? Disanya, like it says in the Braisa, machitza sakerim shenifritza, oymaloy gedar. We're talking about two neighbors. One of them has a stelovan, which means a grain field, chita saora ukedoyma. The other one has a kerem, which is a vineyard. If there is no wall, then there has to be a separation of 4 amos between one and the other. And Rashi told us yesterday that the reason is kidei avoidas hakorem, so that the farmers and the animals and the wagons can get around the kerem, so you need at least a space of 4 amos. However, what happens if there is no, if there is a wall, then each one can go and plant all the way to the wall. We're not concerned about Yanika underneath. They can plant both to the mamish until the border, until the wall. Aha. But what happens if machitza zakem shenivritza? What happens if the wall, so before we continue on, I see that the word machitza means wall. It doesn't mean subdivision, it means a wall. Machitza ha-kerem shenivritza, if the wall of the kerem has broken through, Oyimaloi, the stay-loving person, can go and say to the kerem person, Gidor, fix it. Put back the wall back in place. Nivritza, if it happens again, Oyimaloi Gidor, you gotta fix it. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck with Kilai. Nisiyai Shemena, what happens if the Baal HaKerem said, forget about it. I don't want the expense and the repair, the maintenance. Voloi Gadra, Harizek Kidesh. As we learned yesterday, the word kidesh over here means that all of the tvua and the kerem is going to become osir now als kelayim. The lashon kidesh is borrowed from the term in the Torah pentuktash hamaleya, which means it all becomes osir as a result of its new status of kelayim. V'chai b'achir yusa, and the person who did not do the geder, meaning the Baal HaKerem, he's going to be chayiv on the achrayis. Why didn't you go and come and repair it? Okay, so with this, the Gemara is now introducing a new pshat in machitza. Machitza doesn't mean to subdivide. It means to build a wall, like we see from that braisa by Kilai. So let's continue on. So, shutfim shirotzu lasin machitza, that means the shutfim that wanted to make a wall, Zokhtu Martaimi deratzu, that's only because they wanted, they agreed to build a wall. Holei ratzu, if they did not agree to build a wall, ein mechayav anoisai, so that would not mechayav neither of the two to build a wall. Why is you mechayav? After all, chevra, if you're going to go and subdivide, and you'll be able to go and watch what the other guy is doing, so that's hezekriya. The fact that we're saying that unless they absolutely agree to build a wall, they don't have to build a wall, is the chayaray al hezekriya lav shmei hezek. So let's learn that pshat. Who forces you to go and say that the pshat in the Mishnah machitza means plukta, to subdivide? Maybe machitza means to make a wall. And the nafkimina, as we just said, is if you're going to go and learn to subdivide, you'll have a rai hezek riyah, shmei hezek. Once you agree to subdivide, you gotta build a wall. Says Igmar, no. Maybe the pshat is good a wall. If you've agreed to build a wall, you gotta build a wall. But if you didn't agree to build a wall, then you don't have to build a wall. All you have to do is make a mesipis. So Igmar, if that's the pshat that the Mishnah is talking about a wall, if that's the case, the lashon of the Mishnah is a little bit, if you will, wordy. In which way is it wordy? Because the Mishnah started off Ashur from Shiratu La Sois Machitza. Now, when you see the word Machitza according to this new pshat, don't say Machitza, say Koisel, wall. And then the Mishnah continues on, Boyin is a Koisel. Doesn't have to say it's a Koisel. It should just say Boyin and Oisel. Should from the Greek to go and build a wall, gotta build it. Why do they have to be? Gotta build a wall. And therefore says, well, the Choyer is a Raya to the first pshat on today in today's Gemara, that it's not, machitza doesn't mean wall, machitza means a subdivision, to subdivide. Frank Gemara, Elamai, so you want to go back to your pshat plukta, that machitza means a subdivision. In terms of Lashon HaKodesh, it would be more appropriate to say, Hashutfim Shirotzu Lachzis. The shutfim that agreed to divide or subdivide. Why does it use the expression the shutfim who agreed to make a subdivision? The verb would be a cleaner way and clearer way instead of talking about the noun. Let's make a subdivision. Let's subdivide. Let's divide. And for the moment, you're right. We could have done that. When people speak common parlance, when people are speaking, normally when they talk about dividing, they go and say, you know, let's make a subdivision. They could have said, let's divide or subdivide, but that's the shprach, that's the way people talk. That being the case, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when he was codifying the Mishnah, as part of his codification, he wanted to go and use a shprach, a text that people were familiar with. Oh, let's go and make a subdivision. But that's what it really means, lachzois. Frank Gemara, the hezek riyish mehezek. If you're telling me that looking to the other guy's chotzer, that's called the hezek, my ir yiratza fele rotza nami. So why are you talking about the dafka the two people got together? Reuven and Shimon, they both agree. What happens if Reuven says to Shimon, I want to build a wall? And Shimon says, I'm not really interested. Well, tough luck. Whether you like it or not, we gotta build a wall, because the Gemara tells us, Hezek Riyashmei Hezek, what you're doing every single day when you're looking into my property, you're causing me a Hezek. I don't want this. So, the Choyer the Bezim would go and force him to go and make a wall. He can't allow people to go and be Mazik. So why does it say in the Mishnah Dafki Im Ratzu? Om Ravasi Im Rav Yoichanan Mishnah Seinu Kishain Bo Din Chaluka. Huderotzu. It's talking about that the chotzer is very small. And under normal circumstances, people wouldn't subdivide it because there's just not a lot of room for the two people. After all, this common courtyard was not just decorative. This was used by these neighbors, each one to go and park his animals, to put out his tanur vikirayim for storage, what have you. And each one, if they're going to have a small little property, they won't have room for everything. Now you're wondering, what are the minimum dimensions? So that's the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph Omed Aleph, where the Mishnah says, Ein cholken es ha-chotzer ad shehei arba ames lezeh v'arba ames lezeh. Each one has to have a minimum of 4 ames. Approximately 7.5, 8 feet to each one. Okay, that's enough for one cow and one horse and one tanner and one storage bin. But anything less than that, that really, you know, it becomes, having the courtyard is almost useless. It's worthless. So therefore, when our Mishnah says they have to agree shiratzu, it's talking about kishein baden chalukah. Then in fact, the two remaining chatzeres after you build a wall, each one would be less than 4 ames, and therefore, even though Hezek Riyash Mei Hezek, Shimon can go and say, mister, I have to have a place to put my cow and to put my donkey and to put my horse. I just can't. So that would, if you will, trump the inyan of the Hezek Riyash Mehezek. Because, yeah, I mean, the whole purpose of a chotzer is to go and put your pekelech and to put your cows and your horses, etc. If not, then there's no chotzer, you know. It has to have a shem chotzer. Shem chotzer is at least four amis or more for each one. So our Mishnah is talking about kishein baden chaluka, v'hu deratzu, and if they agreed to go and subdivide pag plukta, then they have to build a wall. So Timura, my kamash molon. So what is then the chiddush of our Mishnah? Tchiles bei din chaluka, that even though each side is less than four amas after your subdivision, after your wall, kiratsu, but if they agree, pligi, then you gotta go and build a wall. If that's the whole thrust of our Mishnah, tanina, then that we already learned befeirish on daf yud aleph. If you want to turn to daf yud aleph just for a short moment, you'll see the Mishnah, which is about 2/3 down the Omud on Yud Aleph Omud Aleph, the Mishnah says, "Ein chokin es achotzer achi arba amis lezeh vi arba amis lezeh." Each one has to have a minimum of four amis after you do the subdivision. But then skip to the last two lines in the Mishnah. "Ein masai bizman she'ein shneihem roitzim." That's when the two are not willing to agree. Abizman she'ein roitzim, but both agree. Even if you're left with less than 4 by 4, in other words, 4 amas for this one and 4 amas for that one, if they agree to go and subdivide, then you can force, each one can force the other one to go and build the wall. So, since it's less than, it's a small property, there's not 4 and 4 left after your subdivision. Remember, the subdivision itself, the wall that you build has to be a minimum of either 4 tzvachim, 5 tzvachim, 6 tzvachim, like we had in our Mishnah, depending on the minik hamokim, gvil, gozis, kvis, and arichim. So once you build that wall, that takes away from the property. So after that, measure what's left. Reuven will have left only 3.9 amis. Shimon will only have left 3.9 amis. He can't go and force the other person to build the wall. So Reuven says to Shimon, "Shimon, I want to build a wall." Shimon can turn him down. And the Mishnah says, "Ein cholkin achi arba amis lezev arba amis lezev." However, says the Mishnah at the end, "Ein misam bismach ein shneim roitzim." If Reuven and Shimon are not consenting to one another, not agreeing, but if they both agree, for the pachas mikan yachloiker. Now you're going to go and tell me what's the chiddush? Of course, if they both agree, then they can agree even if there's only one tefach left. The chiddush of the Mishnah is once they agree to build a wall, even though each one will be left with less than four amas, if one of them after that changes his mind and says, "You know what? I discussed it with my wife. I measured it out. My horse and my donkey and my tanner, my kirayim, it's just not enough. I change my mind," says the Mishnah, "I'm sorry, it's already too late. Yach loiku, we can force the person to go and keep his word." The Gemara is going to tell us a little bit further down that it's talking about with a kinyan, because otherwise it's just dvarim ba'alma. It would be akin to a maximum of mishapara. The fact that we are doing a koyfin, I'm not suggesting that mishapara applies over here, because mishapara is by a mecher. Here we're talking about a subdivision. But I'm just trying to explain that it's only binding on both sides, that you can force the other one if he made a kinyan. But we're going to talk about that a little bit further, another couple of minutes. Okay, so Freiting Mariet. L'choyre this halacha. And let's go back to the beginning of our Mishnah. Hashot shutrim shirotsu lasus machitza, then koifen oisun, then they have boinus esakois will be outside. So the Gemara is now learning, today's Gemara, that the definition of machitza means plukta, that if the two agree that they're going to subdivide the property, what's the din? Then each one can force the other one to go ahead and build a koisel. So what's the chiddush over here? If they both agree, what's the chiddush? Even though ein badin chaluka, then it's takav hu deratzu, because they agree. If they wouldn't agree, then neither can force the other. Even though today's Gemara learns that the Mishnah tells us the din that Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezik. That's the thrust of our Mishnah. But nevertheless, you can only force the other one to build a wall if you have Kedei Chalukah more than 4 Amos on each side. You don't have more than 4 Amos, you can't force. It's got to be Shiratsu, that they both agree. Oh, once you agree, then you can enforce that agreement to Beis Din, and Reuven can say, Shimon, I know you changed your mind, it's too late. You have to go and build the wall together with me. Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek. So Frank Timora, if that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah, Ma'ikah Mashmalon, Tanina, that's the Mishnah that we saw in Daf Yud Aleph about 2 minutes ago. Amos, I wonder, we require a Kedei Chalukah Lezeh, or Kedei Chalukah Lezeh, that each one is left with 4 Amos. Bizman Sheish Neyam Roitzim, when the two are not willing to agree. Bizman Sheish Neyam Roitzim, if the two agree to build the wall, Afilah Pochas Mikan Chokin, even less than 4 by 4, in other words, 4 for this one and 4 for that one, you can force the guy to be cholek, to go and split it. So, Ibazoi Freitimara, why do we need our Mishnah to tell us the halacha, which says explicitly on Daf Yud Aleph? So, I'll tell you why. In the also, if it would only be the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph, the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph, Avamina Philip Pochis Mikan, the Mesipis Ba'alma. Because, after all, look at the Lashon of the Mishnah, which the Gemara just quoted. Abizman Shishneim Roitzim, Afilah Pochas Mikan Cholkin. Now, what does the word Cholkin mean? Cholkin means to divide it, subdivide. So, I might have thought even b'mesipis ba'alma, that would be sufficient just to have that hedge of little pegs in the field. Otherwise, buy 50 pegs, 100 pegs, and have them all lined up one next to each other. It's only 2 or 3 inches high, but now I have my subdivision, I have my partition between the two. I might have thought that that's the definition of the word chalkin. Kamash malon hacha. That's why our Mishnah starts off. Hashid from shirotzu lasis mechitza. Then boinin es ha-koisel. Koisel means a wall. It doesn't mean a mesipis. And if you're not sure that koisel means a wall, continue the Mishnah. Gvil, gozis, kvisan, or levenim. So we're talking about a real wall. We're not talking about pegs. Frank Timar, you know what? You've convinced me that our Mishnah tells us a brand new halacha that I would not have known from the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph. It comes to tell me that once they've agreed, even in a place which is less bar kedei chalukah, you gotta go and build a wall, not just a mesipis. Frank Timar, v'lisni ha, v'lisni hach. So who needs the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph? Why don't we just learn our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says very clearly, Hashut Shiratzu Lasa Mechitza, they agreed to subdivide Plukta. Once they agreed to Plukta, then you gotta build a wall, whether you like it or not, because of Hezek Yishmei Hezek. Aha. So what do I need the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph to tell us this? Says, I'll tell you, Sefer Tzrichale. The truth of the matter is, the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph did not need to repeat the halacha of our Mishnah, according to today's pshat in the Mishnah. The reason why he did it was to contrast the halacha of a wall subdividing a chotzer with kisvei hakodesh. The kisvei hakodesh avu bishesh neim roitzim leyachloiku. If you go back to the Mishnah and Daf Yud Aleph for another short second, you'll see at the very tail end of that Mishnah it says, even though legabe a chotzer if shneim roitzim yachloiku. What happens if you have two partners that own a Sefer Torah? Or, Rashi says it doesn't have to be a Sefer Torah, it could be any of the Chav Dalet Sifrei Nach. As we know, in many, many shuls today, they have Sifrei Nach written on parchment, on klaf, from which they read the Haftoris on Shabbos. Oh, so what happens if you have two brothers? They both inherited from their father a Sefer Torah, or a Sefer Yeshua, Shoiftim, or whatever, and they want to go and divide it. Each one wants the Sefer. They can't come to terms. They say, you know what? We'll split it down the middle. They go to the middle perek. Let's assume, I don't know, Yeshua, I think, has 26 broken, or Kapitlach, or whatever. So at the end of Kapitl Yud Gimel, they'll say, okay, we're not going to show, we're not going to cut it with a knife or with the scissors. Well, wherever it makes sense, we will open up the Gidim that connect the various pieces of cloth. You'll take the first half and I'll take the second half. I'm not saying it's a brilliant idea, but at least it's a conceivable idea. Says the Mishnah, no. By a chotzer, you can force the other guy to go and subdivide the chotzer. But by kisvei kodesh, avu bishesneim roitzim, even if they both agree, lo yachloika, don't do it. Don't do it. So how are you going to work it out? I don't have to tell you, you're all better businessmen than me. You'll go to a sefer, find out what the going rate is for such a sefer. If the going rate for a chvais, a sefer Yeshua, is l'moshel, just to throw out a number, $5,000. Okay, so one will have to pay the other one the $2,500. He'll get the sefer, he'll get the money, and they'll split the difference in terms of the money. Okay, as you see, the Lishnah Rina, they take it out, and when you finish the Gemara, if you go through it, you'll see that 99% we've already said at the top, or we're going to say shortly, right after the parentheses. So we skip down to five lines before the wide lines. So what have we concluded? Our Mishnah is not like we learned yesterday. When it says the word mechitza, it does not mean wall. It means plupta. That means that we've agreed to subdivide the property. Aye, if they've agreed to subdivide the property, what do you need the agreement for? L'chaira, if you're holding that Hezek, Riesh, May Hezek, then Reuven can say to Shimon, I demand that we subdivide the property because you're constantly looking into mine and I am looking into yours. No good, Hezek. And if he doesn't agree, you can go and take him to Bezdin. So why does it say in the Mishnah, Shiratzu, that they have to have agreement? So remember we said, because you're talking about that the property ain ba din chalukah, there's less than four for each one. Is it Mayu Kimta Masisin? How did Yizet sign our Mishnah? Bisha ain ba din chalukah. Pray tomorrow, Ibish ain ba din chalukah, ki ratzu mayhaga. Fine. They both agreed and they say, yeah, we agree. They both drank l'chaim. They gave made a handshake. We're going to go and split up this property. So then, next day when Reuven says to Shimon, okay, I got the bill from the contractor, it's going to cost $1,000 to build a new wall. Shimon gets cold feet. I'm not interested. Frey Timura, why does it say in the Mishnah, Kirotsu, when they agree, then they are forced, they have to build it. And Shimon can't change his mind. Why not? Nahadribu. Let them change their mind. It was only Dvorim Ba'alma. He says, we agreed to build it now. We disagree. This is Ma'akol Arash. Amravasim Reb Yochanan. Shekonomi Yodin, it's talking about that they made a kinyan. Ooh, how do you make a kinyan? The standard kinyan, when the Gemara talks about these things, is a kinyan sudr. They picked up a handkerchief and they agreed, okay, machalachayim, we're going to go and build a wall. Freiti Gemara, when do you say handkerchiefs work kinyan sudr? When it can be chal on something, a dover mamish, a something of substance. What does the Gemara mean to say? So explains Rashi. If you're talking about something of substance, whether you're talking about real estate, whether you're talking about metaltlin, and you're saying, okay, we're going to divide it, let's go and make a kinyan, and you pick up the handkerchief, okay, that's fine. Because Rashi says, a handkerchief helps for mecher, for matana, for a mortgage, to buy or sell metaltlin, yo, this is all good. But this is Devarim. We've agreed that we're going to subdivide. At the moment, it's oisiois porchois bi'avir. How does the kinyan of the Suda work? Everything marbish economy yodan beruchais. It wasn't just Devarim ba'alma, but rather the two went out to the chatzah, and each one, if you will, measured it, and he says, I'm going to take the eastern side of the wall. You're going to take the western side of the wall. And now they picked up the sudr. So that's more than just Dvarim Ba'alma. It shows you that this is really a Gemiras Das because they already figured out who's going to get what. And when we call the contractor, we've already figured out exactly the dotted line where he's going to build. Oh, so that's already a Dover Mamish. And you can have the kinyan bichal on that. So that's one pshat. The second pshat of Rav Ashi is very similar. Rav Ashi, Amar ki gon shalach zeh b'tok shaloi v'hechzik. Zeh b'tok shaloi v'hechzik. We're not talking about a Kinyan Suder, we're talking about a Kinyan Chazaka. How did they make a Kinyan Chazaka? Says Rashi, that they each one went to his half of the property, which is going to remain his after the wall, and Rafak Bapurta, each one took a shovel or a hoe, and they did a little bit of digging here and there and everywhere. And we know from Masechtas Kiddushin, when we learned about Chazaka and being Koina Karka, that Noal Godar Uporat Kolshu, Abyssal, any type of little tikkun is sufficient. So here too, he did a Rafik Bapurta, he started doing a little bit of hoeing, a little bit of shoveling in his side, so therefore he made a Kinyan Chazaka. Ah, Sa'ar Mishnah, when it says, Hashutrin Shiratsu, put in parentheses, Vehachziku, Vekanu, they made a Kinyan mit a Chazaka, or with a Suder, Baruchais, and that's why they are forced to keep their work. Okay, with this we have now concluded the fascinating discussion about Hezek, Kriya Shmei Hezek, or Lav Shmei Hezek. Now we're going to go into some more details of the Mishnah itself. And a lot of what we're going to learn now, if you recall, we had this at the end of Bava Metzia. Remember in our Mishnah we said yesterday there are four different types of, not four types, but four sizes of bricks. We had the Gvil, the Gozes, the Kfisin, and the Levainim. And we said that these are not just types of bricks, but it's also key for our Mishnah, the width of the bricks. So we said in our Mishnah, if you remember, that a Gvil, you'd have to have space, the width of the wall would have to be 6 Tvachim, Gozes 5 Tvachim, Kfisin 4 Tvachim, and Levainim 3 Tvachim. Why do we have these Shiurim? Sigmar explains. Gvil, says Gmar, first, Mokim Shnoga, live nights v'chodi. Okay. The Mishnah, when it says Gvil, that was the widest, where you have to have a wall of 6 Tvachim wide. That's talking about Avni Deloy Meshapia. That's talking about On Yun, Yun, H-E-W-N. Or, let's say, rough-edged stones, where the stones were not planed, they were not smoothed out, but rather, the Gemara refers to it as Kushra, Mursha the Karnasa. Mursha means that you have protrusions in the stone, in the brick, because it wasn't sanded, it wasn't properly refined, and therefore you have these protrusions. That being the case, how wide is that Evan? That Evan, from end to end, including the protrusions, is 6 Tvachim. And that's why the Mishnah says Reuven has to give 3 Tvachim of space on his side, and Shimon has to give 3 Tvachim of space on his side, and build the Kois of Emtza so that it fills up 6 Tvachim. Gozes, on the other hand, is Avni D'Meshapia. Those are Avonim which have been nicely smoothed down, and so therefore, although Gvil and Gozes are the same stones, this one is a rough-edged stone, and therefore occupies 6 Tvachim. Gvil is a nicely planed, a nicely smoothed out stone, and therefore it's only 5 Tvachim. How do I know Gozes means nicely polished and refined stone? The Chassidus says in the Pasuk, Kol Eila Avonim Yikoreis Kemidois Gozes. Ah, so Avonim Yikoreis. What does it mean, Yikoreis? Yikoreis means that they are, if you will, dear and expensive and precious. Why? Because they were nicely cut and nicely smoothed out. So that's the difference between the Gvil and the Gosh. Now when we get to Kfisin, what does Kfisin mean? Kfisin is Archi. Archi means half bricks. You started off with a full brick and you cut it in half. How did we get to the Cheshvan of our Mishnah that it was 4 Tvachim? So we'll see in the Gemara momentarily. You started off with a brick Levainim. A Levaina is only 3 Tvachim wide. However, if you cut it down the middle, you have 1.5, and you have 1.5. Now you go and fill between the two halves. You have to go and fill in mortar or cement, which is another tefach. So you have 1.5 plus 1 plus 1.5. You get 4 altogether. However, if you're using a levaina, you don't need to go and put in any mortar in between because you have the full levain. So therefore, the kvisim are archi. Those are half levainim, where you have to add another tefach because of the mortar. So it's four altogether. While the veinim of our Mishnah, that's Livni, that's just the brick on its own, that you don't need mortar in the middle of the brick, because the brick is fine the way it is. Fine, so that's how you get to the four shiurim. Here you're talking about rough stones, here you're talking about smoothed out stones, here you're talking about half bricks, and here you're talking about full bricks. It's only Rabbi Bari, the Rabbi Larvashi, mi mai digvil, avin le mishapya ninuhu, mai tefach yiseir, le morsha de karnasa. Why do you say that gvil is avonim de le mishapya, that means unpolished stones, and the extra tefach is because of the protrusions from the stone on both sides? Then we're palgir de gozisu. Or maybe the definition of gvil is just like the kfisa, that you started off with a gozis, the gozis being a stone which is 5 tzvachin wide, cut the gozis in half, now we have 2.5 and 2.5, and insert vahitavach yisair lebeni urvihu. Kidikam reading the same thing like we said by the kfisin, which are archi, and the lenin on livni. And why is there a tefach yisair lebeni, vahitavach yisair, what's the difference between the kfisin and the levenin? Lebeni urvi, that mortar that you have to put in between the two halves. So maybe that's the same shot in gvil and gozis, that gvil is really a gozis, a 5 tefach wide stone that you divided in, you cut it up in the middle. So now you have 2.5 and 2.5. Throw in mortar of a tefach, and that's how you have 6 altogether. So maybe that's the pshat in gvil. Omalei. So now we ask them rhetorically back. V'litamach, and according to you, kfisin archi minolon. How do you know the kfisin means half levenim? Maybe kfisin is like the gvil and the gauzes, that the kfisin is rough bricks, and the levenim is smoothed out bricks. Ella, gemara gemirila. You have that bikabbalah, that when you learn this in the yeshiva, your Rebbe and his Rebbe and his Rebbe, everybody learned this already for many, many doirois, gemara gemirila, that kfisin means archi, half bricks. So gvil nami, avni lo mishapti, gemara gemirila. That's bikabbalah, that's the way we've been learning it for years and years, and that's the way it is. Ikri amri, others learned this discussion in reverse. Again, the same man yomar, omale ravacha barei drav avya le ravashi, no, slightly different name, but basically the same. Mimai dahai kfisin archi ninu. How do you know kfisin means archi, split bricks, that you split up the levena and filled it up with mortar? Vaitefach yisair lebeni urvi. Dilma mai kfisin avdele mishapion. Vaitefach yisair lemurshe de karnisa. Kinagam rinan, just like we said by gvil, avdele mishapion. God is avdele mishapion. Vaitefach yisair lemurshe de karnisa. So maybe that's the pshat in kfisin and levenim. That kfisin and levenim are exactly the same, both the same type of bricks. It's just in the case of levena, we had someone who refined and polished the bricks so nicely, so it's only 3. And in the case of the kfisin, these are rough-edged bricks, and that's why they're 4. How do you know? It means you cut it down the middle, and you put in the mortar. Amalei, so you ask them back now rhetorically, V'letamach vil avdele mishapyumanon. How do you know that gvil means avdele mishapyum, that they are rough-edged? Maybe the gvil means taka like the gauzes. In other words, just like the kfisin, that you take the gauze, split it down the middle, and you fill it up with mortar. Ela gemara gemirila, you have such a kabbalah. Hachanami gemara gemirila, you have a kabbalah. Amar Abba. Okay, so with this, we have now concluded that discussion. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, tachlis, what do I learn from all of this? Shema mina, kobeni urvi tefach. Anytime that you're doing a type of building of sorts, and you are taking half bricks, well, you have to go and put in the middle, to keep the 2 half bricks solid together for building, you have to put in mortar of a tefach be'emtza. So Rashi says, Ishma Mino comes to tell you, halacha lemaisa, for people that are involved in construction, that if you're a contractor, and you've agreed to go and build with such half bricks, fine, no problem, but fill up a tefach of mortar in between. Now, Abaye adds, Hani mili betina, stavke, if the mortar in between is your normal tit, chvais tar, plaster, whatever the normal thing is. Al berichsa, if the type of mortar that you're putting in between, Rashi says richsa means a bunch of avonim dakois, the tit, that it's not just simply normal tar or cement, but it's a mixture together with pebbles. With pebbles, then boy tefach, then you need avu be richsa, boy tefach, nish tefach, boy tefach. For richsa, it's not enough one tefach, you'd have to have a tefach plus. The Gemara doesn't tell us how much, 1.2, 1.5, it's got to be more than a tefach. Ikedi Amri, there's another version, which is the reverse. Hani mila berichsa, if you're talking about this somewhat inferior type of mortar, then you need a tefach. Albatina, if you're using proper pitch, tar, cement, you don't even need a full tefach, even twice 3/4 of a tefach would be enough. Okay, Zuk Yimar. Lememra, from our Mishnah that we can learn, the begozis, once you're talking about avni gozis, remember avni gozis is the second level of our Mishnah, which is the nicely polished stones where the width of the wall is 5 tefachim. What do we learn from that? The chaldalet ames goiva, that if you have a height of 4 ames, you need a base or a width of 5 tefachim. Ihavi pusya chamisha or chamsha koi iloi loi koi. If you want to hold it up a wall of 4 ames, make sure that the width of the wall is 5 tefachim. How do I know that the wall has to be 4 ames tall? Remember, we had that in the Mishnah on Daf Hey, where it says that the height of the wall has got to be koisel chotzer mechayim noisel liv noisel at 4 ames. Right? It's got to be 4 ames tall. So now the Gemara is assuming the Havimina that for construction purposes, this is all very much proportionate. What's proportionate? If it's 4 ames tall, it's got to be 5 tefachim wide. Ah, Freiti Mariyet, if that's the case, for ametraxin, to have yigavoya, to loss an amesa, to have a pusya elishis, a shis pushchi. What is he more asking? The ametraxin that you had in the first base of Middash, the ametraxin was a wall that was 30 amois tall. That's David and Shlomo Melech's first base of Middash. The wall that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadoshim was a wall, and it was 30 amos tall. For the Havipusya, however, the base, the width was only shispushchi, it was only 6 tvachim. Vikam, and it stood. So you see that it's not proportionate, because if you say it's proportionate, 4 amos requires a base of 5 tvachim. Then 8 amos would require a base, a width of 10 tvachim. Here we're talking about 30 amos, and all it had was 6 tvachim. That's why it was called the Amma Traxim, because it was only one Amma wide, separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadosh. So you see that the Chesron doesn't shtim. Here you're saying 4 Ammas, 5 Tzvachim width. Here you got 30 Ammas. And the whole width was only 6. And for the Gemara, Kimin the Ikka Tefach Yaseira Koi. When you have a base of 6 Tzvachim, an Amma, that's solid, and that helps you even 30 Ammas. So it's not the proportionate thing that you thought about until now. 4 amos requires 5 tzvachim. You're right, maybe for 4 amos you need to take 5 tzvachim. But once you hit 6 tzvachim, that becomes such a strong base that you can even go up 30 amos. Pray tomorrow, if that's the case, with Mikdash Sheni, my timely Ovid Amitraxim. When by Mikdash Sheni, there they didn't have a wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadoshim, they had a paroiches between the Kodesh and Kodesh Kadoshim. And the Mishnah says over there that according to some, there were 2 proichesim, which would make it very similar to the Mishkan that we had in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Torah says beferish by the Mishkan that there's going to be a proiches lahavdol ben haKodesh uben haKodesh Kadoshim. Aha! So in the second base of Mikdash, why didn't they rebuild it like the first base of Mikdash with a wall? Why did they go and use a curtain? Everything working, koi bit losin, koi. Tvei loy koi. So Rashi explains, once you, with the amendment of the Bach and the Maseres HaShas, that the height of the second base of Mikdash was 40 amos tall. And therefore, if you're going to go and build a wall, then you need not a 30 amos wall, you need a 40 amos wall that would be to separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadosh. It says the Gemara, since the space between the Kodesh Kadoshim was only maximum an amma that you couldn't extend. It had to be an amma. Oh, an amma can hold a wall of 30 ammas tall, but it cannot hold up a wall of 40 ammas tall. So Timur ki koi miklasin koi tvei lekoi. How do you know that the second Beis Hamikdash, that the height of the Beis Hamikdash was taller than the height of the first Beis Hamikdash? It says in the Pasuk, Godel Yir Kovet HaBayis HaSeho Achrim and HaRishon. It'll be greater. Now what means that it will be greater? So Machloi Kintin Rav and Shmuel. The Amalit of Yochan Rav Lozer, Chanon and Abinyan, one of them holds Godel means literally in the height. Chad Oman, the other one says Bishonim, in the duration. The first Beis Hamikdash, as you know, stood for 410 years. The second Beis Hamikdash stood for 420 years. Ah, so the Godel either means godless in structure, in height, or Godel means in length, in duration. And says Gemara, even though this is a machlok between Rav and Shmuel, or Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, Abba Isa Laha V'Isa Laha. The machlokis is only in the pshat in the pasuk. Abba Lemaisa, both interpretations are accurate, because in fact, the Beis Hamikdash Hasheni was 10 amas taller, and in fact it was 10 years longer in standing in duration. Ah, so I see from this clearly that the second Beis Hamikdash was 40 amas tall. Says our Gemara, a base, a width of 6 tvachim, 1 amma, just doesn't do it. And that's why they have to make a curtain. So, Frank Timara, the Nevdu Tlosan Amma Bebinyan, the Idach Nevid Parachis. Why don't we make a combination? Keep 30 Amis wall like the first Beis Hamikdash. The height of the Beis Hamikdash is 40 Amis. So add a curtain, either at the top or at the bottom, to make up for the difference, for the separation between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Nevdu Tlosan Amma Bebinyan, the Idach Nevid Parachis. And for the Marki Koi. Tlosin amas and nami agav tikra umaziva koi. Play tikra maziva loi koi. What does he want me to say? This 30 amas tall binyan is not in a vacuum. Like in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, they build up a wall 30 amas tall. We're talking about a binyan. We're talking about a building. Ah, so the building, by definition, over this wall had a ceiling. A ceiling, by definition, has in it boards and beams. And like we learned at the end of Bava Metzia, it also has plaster, maziva. Ah, so when you have the wall being held down, grounded, because it has a 6 tefach base, or 6 tefach width, and it's connected to the ceiling and to the beams and plaster on the top, then it'll stay in place. However, if you're going to go and build a wall of 30 amas, and then on the top of the 30 amas, you're going to leave a space of 10 amis, where you're going to go and put up a roichisol between the ceiling, the roof, and the top of the wall, then the whole wall, chas v'sholem, can come tumbling down. So tomorrow, kikoi tlasin amisa nami agav tikru maziva, with the combination of the ceiling on the top. But then it's koi, play tikru maziva, like koi, it will not hold. Freitim of 11, ma de efshe bebinim 11, idach paroichis. Okay, do the best you can. Since we want to model the second Beis Hamikdash after the first Beis Hamikdash, if you're telling me 30 is just not going to stand without the benefit of the Tikra and Maziva, so make it the tallest you can. Speak to the construction experts. Maybe they'll say, oh, if it's 10 amas tall, that'll stand even if it doesn't have the benefit of the roof. But oh, 10 amas, okay, fine. So make a 10 amas wall, and then make a 30 amas paroiches. Why do we say the whole thing is a paroiches in the second Beis Hamikdash? Amar Abaye Gemira, we have a Kabbalah. Ikulu bebinyan, ikulu beparoiches. It's got to be one or the other, not a combination. Either wall, which of course was in the first Beis Hamikdash, or paroiches, which was the second Beis Hamikdash. Now, usually when the Gemara says Gemiri, the Gemara means like halacha l'moishe misinai. We have a Masoira. Here, however, the Gemiri is based, in fact, on Psukim. So, Timura, Ikul Bebinyan, Mi Mikdash, if you're going to tell me the whole thing is Binyan, that we learned that from the base of Mikdash, Ikul Bebaroichas, we learn from the Mishkan. Where do we learn from the Mishkan? Because the Mishkan has a Befeirish Apostle. That you should go and make Vedilu HaBaroichas Lacham, Bein HaKodesh Bein HaKodesh Kadoshim. So, therefore, what they want means Gemiri means we learn from the Psukim. from the Psukim of David HaMelech, we learn that there was a binyan, and in the case of the Mishkan, the Vdila HaParoiches Lechem Ben Kodesh Ben Kodesh Kadoshim. Therefore, since we see that the decision by Kodesh Baruch in the case of the Mishkan was put HaParoiches, in the case of the Mikdash Rishon, Hakol B'Chsav Miyad Hashem, that it was also from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the height of the Beis Hamikdash, and the wall, so there they built a wall, there they built a Parochus, and therefore, in building the second Beis Hamikdash, they had two models, one or the other, but don't mix and match. Okay, so with this we've concluded the discussion about the size and the height and the width. Now the Gemara asks another related shaila. Iboilehu, hein v'sidon oidilma hein b'loy sidon. Now, here we're talking about sid again as plaster, like the maziva that we had before. When you build a wall, you don't just build it with the bricks or with the stones, but you have plaster on the bricks and on the stones. Could be for cosmetic purposes, it could be for reasons of stability, whatever, it could be for both reasons. But bottom line is, you're building a wall, you're going to put on the plaster on the wall. What is the shear of our Mishnah? When the Mishnah gives these four shiurim of Gvil, Gozes, Kvisin, and Levainim, which respectively are 6 wide, 5 wide, 4 wide, or 3 wide wall, each one of those tvachim, right? 6 tvachim, 5 tvachim, 4 tvachim, 3 tvachim wide, is that before you put the sid on or after you put the sid on? We're probably talking about that the bricks are slightly smaller, and together with the plaster, a room and a room, then it came out to be 6, 5, 4, 3. Why? If it's talking about without the sid, let us tell the shear. After all, we're being very, very precise over here, because if there's not enough room left for either Reuven or Shimon, ein bo kedei chalukah, and therefore you cannot force the other one to go and split and build the wall unless they agree. It's got to be shuchim shiratzu, like we said in the Amud Aleph. So you want to tell with precision how much is each party going to have and how much is each one going to suffer as a result of building the wall. So wouldn't you want to know that? It's telling us hein v'sidon, the total width, including the plaster, bakol mikokol. That's a good raya. It's talking about without the plaster. Since the total amount of the plaster that you add to the bricks from the inside, outside, from all the zaitin, doesn't add up to much. Only adds up to a fraction, less than a tefach, so therefore the Mishnah didn't go into such minutia. So when it says 6 tefach, it's really 6.2, 6.3, whatever, but we're not going to talk about the fractions, we only talk about the big numbers. Frank Timura, oh, because it doesn't add up to a tefach like Tani. Vok Tani, didn't we say by the Kvisin, what do? You take a levena and you split it down the middle, and then nois and tefachum mechtzav, and then nois and tefachum. Oh, sorry, forget about kvisim. Just talk about levena. Levena, remember, it was the thinnest of the four construction materials. So we said by levena, the total width is 3 tefachim. Then nois and tefachum mechtzav, Reuven has to give space of 1.5 tefachim. Bezeh and Shimon gives nois and tefachum mechtzav. Oh, so you see that the Mishnah talks about less than full tvachim. Talks about 1.5 and 1.5. So Ibazoi, say the same thing over here. If it says in the Mishnah, the sizes, don't tell me. It's probably, we're talking about hein b'loy sidon. You're not telling us the full shear. Since it doesn't add up to full tefach, loy k'toni. You see that from our Mishnah, that we were ketani, even though we're talking about only mechtzes. The Chayyim, the Gemara didn't have to bring a raya from the fourth case of Levena. The Gemara could have brought a raya from the Gozes, which is case number two. We have 2.5 and 2.5. So in fact, if you look at the Bach changes the girsa. Instead of saying, Vaktani b'Levenim, he says, Vaktani b'Gozes. And therefore, you see that the Mishnah does talk about half tvachim. So we could have said half tvachim over here as well. The reason why the Mishnah talks about half tvachim is because when you add the two halves together, you get a full amount. So in the case of the gods, it's 2.5 plus 2.5, you have 5. In the case of Levena, 1.5 and 1.5 is 3. Oh, it's a chzai chzai git. However, if you're going to talk about hain v'sidon, which means the entire brick, let's take the gvil, which is 6 tvachim, and you're going to go and say 6.2, 6.3, you're not going to add up to a full digit. It's going to remain a fraction, right? Because we're talking about the totality of the width of the wall. In the case of the gvil, is 6 tvachim. Ah, so you're going to tell them, no, with the sid, it's 6.2. So why don't we mention the 0.2? I'll tell you why. It doesn't add up. It's as gunish. It's less than a tefach. Aye, by the 2.5 and the 2.5, it was less. Yeah, but there, if you add the 2.5, 2.5, at least you get 5. Over here, it's going to be 6.2, 6.3, 6.4. It's never going to add up to a tefach because it's only one person, one brick. We're not going and adding up to make a full digit, a full tefach. Okay, so Gemara Toshima, let's try to bring another rai with a hein besidon, a hein beloy sidon. Now we turn to Masechtas Erevin. If a person has a mavui, the mavui, as you know, is what we call today a cul-de-sac, or a dead end, or a no outlet, depending where you live, and it has three walls from all three sides, but the fourth wall is open, and therefore the Rishus Rabban people can walk in the mavui, people from the mavui can walk out. And Minatoyer be able to go and carry, because Minatoyer, three walls is enough. However, Midrabanan, they say, no, you're going to have a fourth wall, but it doesn't have to be a full wall. It's enough to have either a koira or a lechi. Lechi, of course, is a vertical pole. Koira means a beam which is hanging up there horizontally. Now, how wide does this koira have to be? Toshima koira she'amru, rechavit, the width has to be kedei lekabel or riach, to be able to hold up. In other words, the width of the koira has to be at least an ariach. How much is an ariach? Ariach, that's a chatzi levena shel gimel tvachim. Oh, a half a levena of 3 tvachim wide. So what's the raya now? So I see that the size of a levena is 3 tvachim, forgetting about plaster, forgetting about sit. We're just talking about the levena itself is 3 tvachim. Oh, so you have a raya, hein beloy sidon. Everything more hasim barav ravasa. It could be that that Mishnah in Masechtas Erevin is talking about big levenim, where each levain is 3 tvachim. It could be talking, our Mishnah could be maybe that the levain itself was only 2.8 or 2.9 tvachim. When you add the plaster to it, it becomes 3 tvachim. So therefore you have no raya. Maybe our Mishnah is talking about something smaller, not 3, 2.8, 2.9. So you're going to go and tell me, nah, that's a doichik pshat. It's not a doichik pshat. Tekenami, tiktoni, it says in that Mishnah, v'horiyah chatzil v'en shal gimel tvachim, v'chal de'ikazutra. If you're telling me that every levena is standard size, wherever, whichever store you go to, whether you're going to go to Costco, or you're going to go to Home Depot, or you're going to go to Chweiss, you're going to order online from Amazon, that they're all exactly the same size, so why do you have to say levena shel gimel tvachim? It should just simply be a koira she'amru rechava kedei lekabel ariach, and ariach is a chatzi levena. By the fact that it added shel gimel tvachim, is coming to tell you this is not the standard case. The standard levena might only be 2.8, 2.9 tvachim. Aye, in our Mishnah it says that you have to put aside 3 tvachim. That's with the plaster. Hein v'sida. That Mishnah is talking about a large levena, which is 3 tvachim. Oh, and a riach has to be a chutz levena of gimel tvachim for purposes of the mavui on Shabbos. Shema mina, mechlal di kazutra, that there are in fact smaller sizes. Shema mina. So it's not one levena, one size fits all. There are different sizes of levena. Okay, Amar of Chizda. Now we're getting a little bit off on a tangent. Loylister inish beknishta ad debani beknishta achriti. What happens if there is a town that has a shul and the Oilam decided we need to have a brand new shul? more people, Kanayin Hara, Baruch Hashem, the families are growing, we have to rebuild the shul. So it says, don't be soysa, don't demolish the first shul until the second shul is built and is finished and is it's working. Zoktimar, what's the reason why? We're worried about a pshia, about negligence, meaning that after they demolish the first shul, then people will be negligent and tardy and delay, and they're never going to build the second shul. So because of the pshia, because of negligence, don't tear down the first until you rebuild and build the north. Vikriyami adresim mishum tsluye. Tsluye means during the intervening time. Let's assume that building a new shul takes a year, l'mashul, and Eretz Yisrael usually takes, they say a year means 2 years, but let's assume it takes a year. So during that 1 year, if you're going to demolish the old shul, where are people going to daven? They're going to daven in the street. What happens if it's raining, if it's pouring, if it's snowing? People will daven without a minyan, just like in the COVID times. So therefore, to make sure that there's always minyanim, there's always tefillah b'tzibur, leave the old shul, only demolish it after you've built the brand new shul. Both reasons are good reasons. My benayu, ik benayu de ikka. Here in the parentheses, beknishta achriti, or the other side, it says in the Masoret Hashas, duchta letzluye. What happens if you have another place? In other words, this is not a town with only one shul. Did you ever have a town with only one shul? Every town has to have at least two shuls. One's nusach svad, one's nusach ashkenaz. One's for the rich people, one's for the poor people, one's for the chassidim, one's for the litvakis, one's for the svardim, one's ashkenazim. There's always going to be at least two shuls. Ah, so if they're two shuls, so then for that period of time, as they're building the brand new shul, you could, if the reason was because of tefillah b'tzibur, you could demolish the old shul, and we're everybody going to daven down the other shul. You know, okay, it'll be a little packed, a little squeezed, but you'll daven in the other shul. However, if the reason is because pshia, then even if there is another shul in town, if there were two shuls, you want to continue two shuls. You had a mukkan kodesh where people were davening and learning and celebrating simchas and all the rest. So there might be a pshia, they might not build a new shul. Don't build a new shul and don't demolish the old until you build the new. And the Gemara Talka tells us a story. The Mareim Umar Zutra, Sasri Ubanu Bei Kaita Bistav, Ubanu Bei Stav Bei Kaita. In their towns, what they did was they made sure, apparently there was both a winter shul and a summer shul. The difference between the winter shul and the summer shul, explains Rashi, the winter shul was far better insulated from the cold. They had wide walls. They only had small openings in the wall, which we call windows, because it was cold. Well, on the other hand, the summer shul had a much thinner wall, and the had larger windows for more air circulation, etc. So when they had to rebuild the shul, they made sure to rebuild the summer shul during the winter, and they rebuilt the winter shul during the summer, so that you wouldn't have a problem of a lacking a place to go and daven. So they learned like the second shot, which is al siduchta, a place to daven. What happens if you opened up a special bank account and you already put in the money for the new construction? The new construction, they said that the new shul is going to cost $1 million to make sure to go and cover everything, because we know that all construction costs always go up before you're finished. So they put away not $1 million, they put $2 million in a bank account. So the question is, my, do you still have to worry about potential pshia? You have plenty of money, you don't have to worry about that they're going to build a new building. No, you have to worry about even over there. What happens if Chas V'Shalom, they come and tell you that Nebuch, there are 120 hostages in Gaza, Rachman al-Islam, and the only way they were going to be able to free them is with money. So then this town might say, we got $2 million in the bank account, take the $2 million and do pidyon shvuyim. And then what's going to happen is, there will be nothing left for the new shul, and it will be a pshia, they're not going to build the new shul. Okay, therefore, that's not enough. We still have to worry about pshia. So don't demolish the old building, even if you have $2 million in the bank account. But frankly, what happens if we're beyond that? Srigi Livni, we already bought and we have lines of bricks, v'hadri hudri. We have tons of beams for the ceiling, for the roof. U'machsi kishuri. And we have building material, planks of wood and beams for the walls. It's all ready. All we have to do is get that final permit and the contractor is going to start building away. In that case, are we worried about Pshia? Can I demolish the old shul? The same situation, opinion shvuyim. What they might do is sell all of the construction material. This is all brand new. All contractors and builders will buy the materials very quickly, and they're going to pay the opinion shvuyim. So I'm still worried about, don't demolish the old shul until you build a new one. According to your svara, even if they built the new shul, you cannot demolish the old shul, because maybe there'll be pinyon shvuyim, and you're going to sell the whole shul, lock, stock, and barrel, for pinyon shvuyim. Amalei, dearest of the inchi le mezavni, when you're talking about a fertige building, a building that is complete, say if it's a dira, and especially if it's a shul, a mokum kodesh, that you're not going to sell, even for pinyon shvuyim. So Zima, that though we said you cannot demolish the old until you build the new, that there wasn't some sort of crack in the foundation or in the walls. Once you see that there's a crack, then sasri bani, then you can go and demolish it because it's a sakon. He saw, in fact, there were cracks there in the foundation and the walls. Sasrei, what he did, he was soiser. He went and destroyed the whole shul. They demolished it. And now when they were building the new shul, he was afraid that the contractors might delay and delay and delay. And he brought his bed into the building of the new shul so that the contractors would see, oy, 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 Ravashi can't sleep at night. He has his bed there. We have to finish the construction as soon as possible. Layafkin Ravashi didn't remove his bed at Damask and lay Shvichi until they built proper gutters and leaders to make sure that there wouldn't be flooding in the shul. So you see that he was concerned about the Pshia. Therefore, it was the shul, unfortunately, was the old shul was already cracked, so they had to go and demolish it. But he was worried about Pshia that they're not going to build quickly. Shnel Chevra, I'm putting my bed there. Ui, Ravashi puts his bed there, they're going to build quickly. Based on what you just said now, you can't demolish one structure until you build the new structure. As we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow. Now, starting from here to the bottom of the Amud, deep into the Amud Aleph, there's going to be a fascinating story. Not all of the story is going to be a happy story. Some of it's going to be quite unhappy. But it's a long story, so we're going to have to stop on the bottom of the Amud in midstream. But you'll see from the end of the story tomorrow that Bava Ben Buta he advised Hurdus as a shtickle tshuva, because Hurdus was a terrible Russia. The Goyim call him Herod the Great, but we know of him as Hurdus of Russia, and you'll see in a moment why. So Hurdus of Russia, Bava Ben Buta said to do a shtickle tshuva, to repent for your sins, go and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So, Bama Buteichi Azvalei Eitzel Hurdus L'Nistarei L'Beis HaMikdash. How could he give him the advice? Tear down the first Beis HaMikdash and build a brand new one. Bama Rav Chizda Loi Lister Inish Beik Nishta. I don't really mean the first and the second. The first was destroyed by the Goyim. But the second Beis HaMikdash that was originally built by Ezra Nehemiah, shortly after its building, Bava Ben Buta suggested that he should tear it down and make a new Beis HaMikdash. Okay, speak to the biblical historians in terms of when this took place. But he suggested demolish the first and build a new one. Ivom Rav Chizda Lelister Inish Beis Krishna Ben Beis Krishna Achrenta. How could he suggest demolish the old Beis HaMikdash? Hevdi Mora Iba Yisema Tiyo Chazabe. Like we said, he saw a crack in the foundation. Or Iba Yisema Machuz Hashani. And you're talking about the local Kehillah. Local Kehillah, the people may delay and become negligent, and they're not going to build a new building. Here we're doing a Malchus, a king. Malchus Shoshayin Idolei Hadri Ben Yom Shmuel, Yom Malchus Akranaturi. If the king says, we're going to uproot a mountain, Akaturi Vali Hadribe. They are going to be, show their strength and show their majesty. I told you we're going to destroy the mountain, we're going to uproot it. you can believe them, they're going to uproot it. So if he says, I'm going to build a Beis Hamikdash, you can count on it. Says Gemar, Hurdis Avdei Beit Chashmonai Haba. Hurdis is originally, not only was he not a melech, not only was he not a commoner, he was a slave that worked for the Beis Chashmonai. Nosan Eina Boisa Tanoikis. There was a young lady in the Beis Chashmonai, and he took a liking to her, and he wanted to go and marry her. Yoni Machad, one day, Shemahu Gavra, Baskola, the Hahu Gavra means Hurdis, heard of Basko, the Omar, Kolavda, the Morid Hashta, any slave that's going to make a rebellion today, now, Mitzlach, he's going to be Matzliach. So what did he do? This Hurdis heard the Basko, he figured, the Basko was sent for me. Come, he got up, got little Nekulim, Marusei. He went and killed out the entire Beis Chashmonai. Marusei means all of his masters, meaning the entire Beis HaMalchus, all the Chashmonaim. V'shar le'atit nimikta. Except for one little kid, this Yenukta that he wanted to marry. Kichoz he Yenukta, the Kabbalah Mitzvah, when the Yenukta saw that Hurdis wanted to marry, apparently he went over to her and said, young lady, you lost the rest of your family, no brothers, no sisters, no cousins, no uncles, no aunts, no parents, you're just an orphan, I'll marry you. She did not want to marry him. Slika the igras, she went up to the roof, v'romakola, and then she screamed out, Omra, kolmandi osini omra beis chashmonai kasina, anybody that in the future says that I am the remaining heir to the whole beis chashmonai, you should know avdahu. He is an eved, enishka beis chashmonai. Tlayishtaira minayu alihi yinukta. The only one left in the entire Beis Chashmonai is me. But he Yenukta, and I, the Yenukta, nafla mi igrali ara. I'm going to go and jump off, and that's what she did. She committed suicide, she jumped off the roof, down to the ground, and she died. And so therefore there's no one left to the Beis Chashmonai, and if Hurdis says otherwise, he is lying. He's a phony. Says Gemara, Tom neshe v'shonim bedufshe. He, Hurdis went and preserved her body for 7 years in Devash, in honey. Why did he do that? Some say that this person was so crazed, so insane, that during that 7 years, he lived with her, presumably multiple times, even though she was never dead, but he used her for his pleasures. No, he didn't. The Ami La Ba'al, period. Loi Ba'al. So the army law ba'aleha hadit hamliyisuv liyitzrei. According to the first pshat, the reason why he preserved her body in the dvash is because of his yetzara. In other words, because he wanted to live with her. The army law loy ba'aleha. According to the second pshat, that he did not live with her. Hayidat amna ki hech the nemru bas melech nosef. He wanted to be able to go and point to her and say, "This was my wife, and children that we have is from her, and we're based chashvinoy, and therefore to go and show that he is." Royal Malchus, he married the Malka and he has the children and blah blah blah. Zokti Mara, Omar, man, so now he, Hurdis said, man dorish mikher b'checha tosem olecha melech. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says that the only one that's fit and worthy to be a king is mikher b'checha. And eretz doch nish mikher b'checha, as a tzugi kumener, even if he was a proper ger. We'll assume he wasn't, but even if he was, he's not mikher b'checha. So he can't be a melech. Who's the one that holds that it got to be Mekerev HaChecha? That's the Rabbanon, the rabbis. Come Katlin Lekulu Rabbanon, he went and killed out all the Rabbanon. Shafki, the only one he left over was Bavim and Buta, the Mishkel Eitz Seminai, so he should be able to go and take him as his cabinet minister and take advice from him. Okay, we'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai, and Mi'at Hashem will continue this story tomorrow. And Mi'at Hashem, Sunday morning, we start at approximately 9 o'clock, not by Zoom, but by conference call, and Brother Barry has already sent out the conference call information. Everybody should have a wonderful, beautiful Lechtige Freilich Shabbos. Thank you all for attending.